Our next speaker is Beth Nyberg, who is a PhD candidate in Professor Loren Chapman's lab at McGill in the Department of Biology. Her doctoral research explores the degree to which anthropogenic stressors, like climate change and fishing pressure, affect ecological change in natural populations, focusing on tropical inland fisheries, where she's done a lot of field work, and especially she's worked extensively in Lake Victoria Basin, for example, in Africa. She wants to set herself up.
I know. She wants the presenter tools. Yeah. I'm going to give them to her.
Perfect, thanks. Okay, so thank you guys all very much for being here, and thanks to Andy and Tony for inviting me to speak today. I'm going to be talking today about predicting the effects of climate change on tropical inland fishes. So escalating temperatures due to anthropogenic climate change are disrupting ecosystem stability and altering species distributions across the globe. And freshwater ecosystems are predicted to be among the most vulnerable to climate change, so they can be affected through increased temperatures and simultaneous decreases in dissolved oxygen concentration, changes in the amount and variability of precipitation, and increased frequency of erratic weather patterns, and this list goes on. And as we know, these kinds of changes can fundamentally alter ecosystem structure and function and can exert strong selection pressure on freshwater species, including those that make up important inland fisheries. And most freshwater species are ectotherms, so they rely on environmental temperatures to control body heat. So to maintain high fitness levels, they must either escape these higher water temperatures or adapt to them. And for fishes inhabiting aquatic inland systems, where relocation to higher latitudes is not necessarily a possibility, adaptive capacity will be extremely important. So therefore, a growing number of ecological studies are attempting to predict how climate change might impact fish populations based on ecological behavioral and physiological traits, as opposed to just changes in distribution. And one example of a physiological trait that provides a clear mechanistic framework for predicting species' adaptive capacity is their thermal window. So thermal window is the range of temperatures that a species can survive under, and each species group will have its own distinct range. So this range can be visualized as a bell-shaped performance curve with the functional efficiency of a given performance measure maximized under a range of optimal temperatures, which we call T-opt. And as you move to the left or right of this curve, the performance drops until you reach critical temperatures, CT max or CT min. And this range comprises the thermal window of the animal. So for ectotherms, their adaptive background plays an important part in determining the width of this window. So theoretically, fishes that encounter a wider range of temperatures in their natural range, like a temperate species, or those who are able to adjust their physiological limits through thermal acclimation, are more likely to survive thermal stress events since they have intrinsic mechanisms for dealing with increased temperatures. Tropical species, on the other hand, have evolved in relatively thermostable environments and therefore tend to have narrower thermal windows. Tropical species are also thought to be living at the upper edge of their thermal tolerance window, so it's predicted that even the slightest increase in temperature can push them beyond their tropical or their thermal limit. So generally, one would predict that they will not be well equipped to deal with thermal stress. However, this has not been tested very often, and very little is known about the acclimation responses of tropical species and how they can compare to those of temperate species. So in this talk, I'm first going to present the results of a meta-analysis looking at the differences in acclimation potential between tropical and temperate fishes, and then I'll discuss ongoing research investigating how tropical freshwater fish may respond to stressors related to climate change, referring specifically to work that I'm doing right now with the Nile perch of the Lake Victoria Basin in East Africa. So to test the hypothesis that tropical fish are more sensitive to increased temperatures, I conducted a simple meta-analysis where I looked at all papers published since 1990, so over the past 24 years, that looked at some physiological response of fish when exposed to increased temperatures. And for each study, I recorded where the fish was from, whether they were a freshwater or a marine species, and whether or not they were able to make a significant physiological adjustment that would improve their ability to tolerate higher temperatures. So, for example, if a fish is able to increase hemoglobin or hematocrit levels or upregulate particular enzymes or proteins to higher water temperatures, this would signify a positive ability to acclimate. And also, I also included in this meta-analysis physiology-related behavioral traits like growth or critical swimming speed. So I found a total of 219 studies with 115 fish species. And first I found that, indeed, the number of studies conducted on temperate fish far outweighs those conducted on tropical and subtropical species. And furthermore, if you split these between freshwater and marine, we find that the number of studies on tropical freshwater fish is by far the lowest, with only 11 studies of the 219 being conducted on tropical freshwater fish. And so when we look at how these fall out in terms of acclimation potential, so in this figure we have the proportion of species that were able to acclimate in each region, we find that a temperate species are better overall at acclimating to increased temperatures than tropical species. So almost 70% of temperate species showed the ability to acclimate as opposed to 45% in the tropics. And again, if we split this by freshwater and marine, we find that freshwater species are actually better at acclimating overall, and this is a pattern that holds across latitudes. So basically, what we see here is that temperate freshwater fish can be predicted to fare the best under thermal increases, whereas being a tropical marine species is the worst-case scenario. So it's clear from these studies that tropical fish could use some more research and exactly how they might respond to climate change. And so now I'm going to move into talking about current research that I'm doing with Lorraine Chapman, looking at how commercially important freshwater fish, the Nile perch, may respond physiologically to climate change stressors. So my study will focus on the Lake Victoria Basin of East Africa. Lake Victoria is the largest tropical lake in the world and Africa's most important source of inland fisheries production. This region also has one of the highest human population growth rates in the world. And climate change projections for this area are on par with global trends of approximately 3 degrees Celsius increase over the next 85 years. And the Nile perch was introduced into a number of lakes in the Lake Victoria Basin in the mid-20th century and has since become a very important commercially harvested species in the region. And this is part of the reason that I'm interested in working with this species. So freshwater fisheries provide an essential source of animal protein in the Lake Victoria Basin. So the adaptive ability of stocks can have huge implications for food security in Uganda and elsewhere. And so so far only a very small number of studies have looked at actual commercially important tropical freshwater species. These large-bodied fishes may have much different response rates than small-bodied marine species that tend to dominate the literature. So if we look at what's already known about the physiological requirements of the Nile perch, we predict that they'll be quite sensitive to the impacts of climate change for a number of reasons. First, they are highly susceptible to low oxygen conditions, and this is something that has been shown in a number of studies across their range. Oxygen solubility decreases with increasing water temperatures, so hypoxia stresses are expected to increase with climate change. So this could be particularly negative for the Nile perch. And also, data from my master's research has shown that Nile perch are highly selective of specific temperature and oxygen regimes in their natural environment. So these data come from a radiotelemetry study conducted in 2011, where we got detailed habitat selection data for adult Nile perch over a six-month period in Lake Nabagabo, which is a small lake next to Lake Victoria. So on both of these figures, we have a selection index on the y-axis with habitat variable categories on the x-axis. So the left-hand graph shows temperature, and the right-hand shows dissolved oxygen categories. And basically what we find is that Nile perch generally select for cooler water temperatures and medium to high dissolved oxygen concentrations. So although this indicates that Nile perch are actually quite picky about temperature and oxygen, the actual physiological responses of Nile perch to increased temperatures have never been explicitly tested. So my plan is to use a series of short-term and long-term acclimation experiments to develop mechanistic predictions on how Nile perch might fare under future thermal scenarios. And the physiological measure that I'll use to test this is aerobic scope, which is an increase in an animal's oxygen consumption from its resting to its maximal metabolic rates. And a large aerobic scope indicates that there's energy available for activities over and above base survival, so it can be a whole organism fitness response. So aerobic scope is a useful measure because it's hypothesized to be tightly linked to this thermal window that we were talking about earlier. So it's predicted to be the greatest under optimal temperatures, with decreases occurring as you approach critical thermal limits. So we can test how a fish's aerobic scope will change when exposed to higher temperatures over a few weeks or over the animal's lifetime. So if they're able to adjust their thermal window through physiological adaptation, they may be able to maintain a high aerobic scope even at higher temperatures. So for the short-term study, which is set to begin this summer in Uganda, I will acclimate Nile perch to a range of temperatures for approximately 3 weeks. And then using a common laboratory technique called respirometry, we'll find out how their aerobic scope is affected at these different temperatures. So this will give us a very controlled look at the baseline ability for a Nile perch to acclimate rapidly to a wide range of temperatures. However, this will not tell us much about what a perch can do if it's exposed to different temperatures over its entire development. And one would predict that growing up in higher temperatures would allow for the development of mitigating metabolic strategies. However, these strategies are likely to have physiological trade-offs, so decreases in reproductive potential and growth rate have been documented in a number of studies. So for this study, I'll rear Nile perch from juvenile to maturity in two temperature conditions, one representing current average temperatures and the other representing temperatures that are projected in different climate change scenarios. And similar to the first study, I'll test their physiological capabilities over their lifetime, so a number of different months, at a range of temperatures. So I'll do this every 4 months until they reach maturity. So this will give estimates of their physiological responses to warmer temperatures across multiple life stages. And we predict that Nile perch will have some ability to acclimate to higher temperatures. So if they're reared in hot conditions, they should display some ability to maintain a high aerobic scope at higher temperatures. However, this is likely to come with consequences such as smaller body size and lower fecundity. So these studies represent important contributions from both ecophysiology and fisheries management perspectives. So they'll be among the first studies to investigate the thermal ecology of a commercially important tropical freshwater fish. And we can use this knowledge to develop predictions for how the Nile perch might fare under increasing temperatures and how the fishery itself might respond given their ability to deal with higher temperatures. And these two studies will also contribute generally to knowledge of the capacity for tropical freshwater species to adjust their thermal tolerance in response to climate change stressors. So with that, I'd like to thank my supervisor, colleagues and field assistants in my lab, and as well as the Ugandan institutions who collaborate with me and the funding agencies that have supported my work. Thank you.
We have time for questions if there are. Okay. Oh, we have one in the back.
Okay. Hi, Beth. Thanks for the great talk. So you said that the perch prefers certain colder temperatures, higher DO. So within the lake, do you see that there's refugia for other fishes that are normally preyed on by the perch because of this temperature selection?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So that's a huge part of the research that goes on in our lab as well. It's less of the temperature. A lot less is known about their temperature preferences than their oxygen. And yeah, definitely the low oxygen refugia have played a huge part in the resurgence of some of the fauna that the Nile perch have wiped out. But that's a lot is known about very small regions of the Lake Victoria Basin, so we hope that this will give a more general idea of what their physiological requirements are.
Thank you very much. Sorry.